Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 727, the Overseas Connection podcast. We are live March 26, 2023. I'm just one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining us today, I will start with those actually present and paying attention. Robin Tate spinning the decks. Robin, how are things in Bellamina, Ireland?
They're wet. But then that's pretty normal. They're pretty wet. It's Robin here. I am in a hall in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, a place where a Greg DeLacy once stood. There's actually a plaque up now. Greg stood here.
It should be.
I'm back. I wasn't on the show last week, I don't think.
No, you were not.
No, I had a night off, which turned into weirdness and wonderfulness. So thank you for that. And I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute or two. I'm back on the show. I'm alive, and I'm looking forward to having a full house chat.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for that, Robin. Also on the podcast today, Miss Kim Woods. Kim, how are you?
I'm good, actually. You know, it's still a little chilly here, but spring has sprung, so they say. So I'm here. My gamer tag is at GamerGirl27. It's pretty much everywhere, unless it's PlayStation. And if you want that, hit me up at Twitter or something. So anyway, I'm good. I'm happy to be here. So,
all right, Kim. Just for quick clarity, you are not in the area that just got hit by that massive tornado, correct?
No, that was Mississippi.
Okay, I always get Missouri, Mississippi for whatever reason. I just interchange them. I know they're not even remotely close.
Yeah, Nick would have got the tail end of that.
Yeah, she might have. Mm. Yeah, it was insane. Apparently, one of those tornadoes touched down for over an hour.
Crazy,
so, kind of crazy.
I was watching some clips of it tonight there, and just before I came out here with Judith, some footage, and just saying like, wow, I mean, look there, like 100 yards over that way, there's houses that aren't touched at all.
Yeah,
you know, there's just like, well, I mean, what the movie Twister, where they talk about the finger of God.
Well, it's like the one that hit us years ago. It hit our barn, tore it all hell, went up over the house, like skated over the roof. And then hit our shop and decimated it. So,
wow.
Crazy. My kids are complaining that they didn't have their phone for half an hour.
Yeah, right?
Don't know the
Speaking
look.
Of phones in a half hour, Pete Chin is on the podcast technically, although he is completely ignoring us because he's conducting business, apparently. But in the actual the Hanitsch National Park in Germany, for whatever reason, he has decided that he wanted to hang out amongst the wild garlic in bloom and conduct his business there. So once he gets done with that, he'll come into the podcast. But until then, we'll just make fun of him because he can't hear us. He doesn't know we're making fun of him. But Pete, we absolutely are making fun of you. And you know I'm making fun of you. Yeah. All right. That business out of the way. Hey, we are a video game podcast. We talk about video games every week. We talk about life as well, all kinds of stuff. We do it every Sunday. Officially back on track, all times synced back up. The UK finally got their superpowers of time travel as well. So now 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 3 p.m. Central Time Zone. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. So check us out live. Come in. Have fun. Like Lord is. He's hanging out in the chat.
Yeah.
Just chilling, doing his thing. And look, Pete's trying to figure out how headphones work. It's really fun to watch Pete's stuff. All right. Now that Pete is back, done doing his business. Pete,
I'm so sorry.
Hey, how was the toilet?
Oh, dear God. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to see your little faces.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Little.
I'm so sorry.
Love it.
Well, we're happy to have you on. We know, you know, you obviously felt other things are more important than this podcast. But let's talk about the biggest thing happening right now, Pete. What's going on with the hair? I feel like there's some growth going on.
Yeah, it's growing, yeah.
Have you been to Turkey? Were you in Turkey?
I've still got a bald spot at the back. That ain't coming back. But, yeah, it's growing.
Is this a byproduct of Rogaine? What's going on here, Pete?
It's nothing.
He's getting ready for Vegas, aren't you, baby?
That's what it is. So I could just get my head out the Cadillac or something. Woo! In the air, waving back.
I'll be beside you with my Justice for Ginger t-shirt on. Yeah.
Are you going to grow the beard out more? That's the question.
It never seems to grow much further. You know, you see these guys and they got real big biker beards and stuff. I seem to get the odd, like, one or two hairs that look like big pubes sticking out and, like, just... They grow down to my belly button.
You know what? This black t-shirt and the black seat behind you makes you look like you're the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Blue t-shirt. Oh my God.
They're blending into one.
I've been up for 3 weeks. Come on, give me some.
That's what you get for taking a phone call right before the podcast.
I know, I'm so sorry. Yeah, but this is the thing. I can't help it. I didn't expect that call to happen, and this is what my life has been at the moment.
That's okay.
That's what you get for living where you work, and yeah.
Absolutely, and we definitely understand, but that does not mean we will not make fun of you.
No, you carry on. I don't mind that. I'm expecting that. That's fine.
Now, look, Lord said you have a proper Viking-looking, you know, thing going on with the German National Park behind you.
Okay.
The fields of garlic that you're yeah. nestled into.
Yeah.
Me personally, I get more of a Bambi vibe. Bambi, yeah.
Because you know me too well. I'm really soft, you know, in the inside, and you know, I'm not that rawr, that I might have the tattoos and stuff, but it's just all a bravado. It's just nothing.
I've never seen you actually mad, but that actually I think would be a frightening thing.
No, I'm not that type. I'm not the type.
Yeah.
I'm very chilled. I'm a lover, not a hater. I like.
He was kind of pissed when he found out I didn't want to play The Last of Us. So.
Oh, you know.
There's that. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the odd thing, and that Kim is really disappointing. But there we go. We'll talk about it in a bit. Is it my segment? Have I got to talk about what I've been doing, or you just introduced me to the show?
Yeah, no, Pete, yes. We've actually just been carrying on with the show.
Thank you for...
Wow, is that what that hour imprinted to us? Wow.
Yeah, no. We're good, We're not there yet, Pete. We're not there yet. We do have to take care of some business.
Yeah.
And this business is, there's some birthdays to talk about. Apparently, there's quite a few families that were very busy about 9 months back, because there's quite a few birthdays to go through. So, Tahara Chin.
Yeah.
Celebrating.
Oh, bless her.
26 years old. Absolutely.
26.
She's lovely.
She might not be 26, but she looks 26.
I would never think she was 36. I mean, I think she looks like she's 26.
Yeah. I don't know. They all blend in for a while, you know. Once they get past like 25 years old to 36, right. They all blend in.
Hey, Chris Henwood also celebrating a birthday. It's coming up on the 28th. And I mean, look, Chris, nice guy, but he's up there in years. I mean, last I saw, he was post 70, so I think he's 71-ish somewhere in there.
At least.
And Fraser Moore's also celebrating a birthday. Now,
thank
it's Canadian
you very
years.
Much. Love it.
He's 97, isn't he? I reckon.
Yep. Right on the nose, Pete. Right on the nose. 97. And in Canadian dog years, that's like 207.
Thank you very much. Darren Hilton celebrating his
birthday. I want to make fun of Darren, but I'm not going to. We're going to say Darren is 25 today.
Darren's nice. A dude. He really is. He's
I know,
living
he
it
is.
Up, man.
He was just drinking, buddy.
When I
in Birmingham.
Yeah.
What have you done to me?
And last but not least, Brian Hamilton celebrating a birthday as well, coming up on April 3rd.
He's in his twenties.
And in his twenties, there we go.
Thank you,
Robin, for saving his life. In his twenties, still plenty to look forward to. And for that, Robin's going to play you a birthday song.
Hey! insert name here. Happy birthday to you! Gentleman's not recognized.
I feel like I could actually, I could pull that song off. I could sing it just like that.
You could pull
out
it off.
Out of tune, off tune, imagine, yeah.
I imagine you could, yep.
Yeah.
You'd be very good at pulling those songs off.
Yeah. Hey, Robin, let's do some story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Now, before Kim and I start talking about our interesting things that have been happening in our lives, we're going to bore you guys with Pete. Pete, let's talk about what's been happening with you.
Hey, guess what?
Guess what? Guess what? Guess what?
Chicken. Did you buy a boat?
I got a fucking boat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got a boat. Yes, I bought a boat. Woo! I should say we bought a boat. Yeah, it's a... Right.
Rubber raft, about 20 feet long.
It's a 2007 65-foot cruiser stern beast. It's got a
awesome.
1.8 canal line, 42 brake horsepower engine that still goes 4 miles an hour.
42 brake horsepower, 4 miles per hour.
Okay, the first half of that description, I was like, holy shit, this sounds like a boat. And then you get to that last part, and I'm like, I could walk faster.
No. No, but dude, it is. It's 42 brake horsepower, and you can walk faster in it, but in the water, it is a beast.
I mean, I can walk faster.
It's a beast.
So we got a boat anyway. So after some real hard work on research and like going to visit boats and going to different marinas, watching so many YouTube channels and God knows what, you know, we put so much work into it. We found one and it just seemed right. We got on there. It was a lot bigger than what we expected. We wanted to go for a 57-foot boat. And we always took notes of what this guy said to us. He says, you've got to concentrate on your living space. You've not got to focus on how much of the network in the UK that you can travel. Because with the boat that we've bought, you can't travel all of the network. You can only travel certain parts of it. Don't get me wrong, there's still probably 85% of it that we can travel with the boat size that we got. But there's certain parts that we just can't get to. So we concentrated on the living space, and it's 65 foot. It's massive as far as boats go on the canal. So it just felt right. As soon as we got onto it, the decor was, it's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. So we got loads of like DIY stuff to do to it. But as far as the construction of it, you know, there's a few things that are going wrong with it that need putting right. But I had a survey done, took loads of video footage because I'm going to do vlogs for all of the stuff, the whole journey. And, I managed to knock them. I got nearly 10% off the asking price just purely because of some of the work it needed doing to it. And I just researched loads of jargon and just threw loads at them, and I managed to get nearly 10% off. So I've saved a bit of money.
Wow.
What it's all about, haggling. And
okay, now I gotta ask. So, if you don't mind, how much did you pay for it?
Just a scotch under 50 grand.
50 grand for that? No, surely it's worth 60. It must be worth 60 for that, for this perfectly good boat. 60 grand. Sorry, it's over his head.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
investment made. Are you gonna put a dragon head on the front?
No.
Did you stand at the front of the boat with your arms out?
No, but I've researched a pole to stick on the end of it to tie Shell on the end of it so she could put her arms out.
Oh, very good. So what's the crack then? So what are you going to do? Are you going to live in the house you are now, or when are you going to go Rosie and Jim?
Well, the thing is, we was initially saying 2 or 3 years, but... the sad part to it at work, we've had a tough couple of weeks at work. There's been an announcement that it will close to the public at the end of October.
Oh no!
So it's been hard at work, you know, with going through that news and with the rest of the staff. You know, a lot of them have been here for a long time, and it's obviously going to bring that date a little bit sooner than we thought. He's closing to the public, so he's not closing his doors completely. So there might be some time where I've still got to stay here, but inevitably, I think I'm going to be going on to this narrowboat a lot sooner than I thought. But
Does that mean no more conferences and stuff like that there then, and the whole lot?
No, that's it. Yeah, it's probably a whole conversation away from this podcast that we'll probably have
fair enough.
It's one of those. It's going to close to the public, and so it's bringing our time being on land a lot. Well, yeah, it's bringing it to a close a lot sooner than we thought. So it could even be the end of the year. It could be next year. I don't know.
Are you going to become a gypsy?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. So we got a boat. My dad just thinks that we've bought this boat, and he thinks that we're just using it for like weekends away and stuff. I've not even told him about work or anything like that, because he likes he always panics about everything. So I've not told him anything like that. So it's really awkward going to Mike and Tara's yesterday and having this conversation with everybody about the boat, and then my dad's like, he's half hearing what's going on, and I'm just like, oh god. But anyway, we bought a boat. I managed to knock them down on price. It's a good boat. I'm going to create a channel and all that stuff. I'm having a logo design for the channel and stuff, and I'll create one, and then I'll let you know what it is, so you can follow me if you want.
I think I know somebody that might be able to help you out with some streaming setups and things like that.
Oh, cool.
He might even be on this podcast, I'm just saying.
Very good at audio. No. It's taken 5 years, or at least.
we've got that. But the thing is, it's going to take us about 7 to 10 days to bring it back to where we are. It's not far up north. But the thing is, because the boat only goes 4 mile an hour, and that's at full speed. And when you pass a boat, the etiquette is to drop down to half speed, to 2 mile an hour, and then you've got locks that you have to go through, which sometimes could take half an hour, up to an hour if you're waiting for oncoming traffic and whatever. It's going to take a long time for us to get back.
Not a perfect ambulance then.
No.
No.
Fast response. Well, it's Pete. Pretty much like me on a WhatsApp reply.
Hear me out, Pete. Hear me out. Yeah, your WhatsApp replies. Let's not even go there. Hear me out. Deployable sails.
Yeah.
Just like add them to the boat, have them like hidden, and then just with a touch of the button, you have full sails going.
Jet speedboat engine.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll work though, still, Greg. I've still got the etiquette of crossing everybody and passing all of the. I don't want to create a name.
Then you deploy
ourselves.
The pirate flag. And therefore, you're fine. You can do whatever you want.
Are you going to get a skipper's hat?
Maybe Shell will have one. I don't know.
They have pirates in the?
There's one canals? Pirate on the canal network, and she's got a YouTube channel. Can't remember what it's called now. Is it It might be the Narrowboat Pirate or whatever. You can look her up on YouTube anyway. She's got a pirate drinking a bottle of rum on the side of a boat painted on it, and it's really cool. She's a really interesting character. She's solo boating across the network, and
I will say this: I don't feel like she's really a pirate if she has a YouTube channel.
So we had a boating lesson, so a driving lesson, so to speak. Because a lot of people, when they get these high boats, they get about 10 or 15 minutes, and then they're told just to get on with it. Don't have to go through locks or anything difficult. They go on a day journey where they can go forwards and backwards within a certain time frame without any complications, really, as such, unless they smash it into another boat and really create some damage. But, that's all they get. But we had a whole day with this guy. And he was brilliant. He showed us loads of different things, the turns, pulling up the correct way, going around bridges the correct way, the signaling, all the controls on the boat and how the boat works. And we spent a whole day, 9 hours with him. It was a terrible day. The next day was glorious. It was really sunny. But the day we had this lesson, it was just throwing it down. It was not good as far as weather was concerned, but really It was really educational. It was a good lesson for us, and it was worth all of 300 quid it was to hire the boat and to have this.
I would think that actually might be beneficial to kind of learn in those horrible conditions.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I mean, he said to us, like, do you really want to go out in this weather? And we was just like, well, we're going to be out in it anyway, so it's going to come to us, this weather is. So yeah, we want to get out there. And do you know what? We absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. Shell loved it as well. It was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it just gave us that even more of a push that we just want to get on there and get on the network. So it was just fantastic. So I've done that. So we've got a boat. God, I feel
you
like I'm
to share pictures
just now.
You know that.
Yeah, I want to create these vlogs. I mean, I'll send you some pictures in the first instance, but I want to create these vlogs. So that's buying the boat, having the survey done, actually viewing it, see what it's like, and just all the recommendations that we discovered or we would advise other people to look out for.
Okay.
You know, we're not experts in it, but it's just something from beginners. I reckon that they'd be useful to other people. So we want to create this channel anyway and give it a go. A lot of keen boaters who like to be passing the messages on do this, they do vlogs, so we're just going to go for it as well. As well as all that, I've not looked at the Vegas itinerary, Greg. I'm really sorry.
No, you know what? It's probably good you haven't, Pete, because we've got you doing some stuff.
All right, that's fine. on game. We watched The Last of Us, and it's another reason. I'm really sorry that I didn't come on last week, but we started to power watch it last week.
Right.
And we just fell asleep on the couch. And we was on episode, I think it was 6 or 7 or something. We fell asleep flat out. And I just completely missed getting on here. We woke up nearly 11 o'clock, I think it was. So we've watched all of that now. If you ask me, it was okay. I don't think it was great.
I think it was very, very good. I will say the last episode, this is, I think, one of the problems a lot of video games have.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tie it back into the video game in that if you really think about it, and I'm trying to – a certain character, he kind of gets what he deserves. And I will just say that, and that's hinting towards other things at the end of the day. Not a good person. Mm. And selfish.
Mm-hmm. That was in the game. Yeah. That was the game.
There's a lot to unpack. It's a good show. I liked it. I liked that they did go more in depth with the characters, because I think that's something the game tried to do but couldn't do as well.
No, they couldn't do that enough. Yeah.
And I get what you were saying, Pete, before. Sorry to cut you off. But I mean, I get, you know, the joy of playing the game and being in those firefights. But you also, I think what I liked about the show, with the exception of one episode, which you will understand what I'm saying here in a second, is he can't – sorry, I just looked at the stream. He can't – you know, he's – in the game, you murder a lot of people.
Yeah.
and I say murder – you're fighting and they're trying to kill you and you kill them, but it's pretty damn unrealistic. And so I was happy to see that the show didn't go to that extreme all the time, but it definitely does take it to an extreme at one point. And I think that one moment really kind of I lost a lot of like credibility for Joel in particular. In terms of his actions.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, anyway, well done, Pete. Aye, aye, Captain.
I've seen it. He's done a good job of that. I don't know. I just thought it was very slow, and a lot of people that have not played the game and seen it that I've spoke to at work, they've said that it's quite slow as well. Even though it's good, it is good, and it gave me that feeling of Walking Dead a little bit. It didn't give me that impact that Walking Dead did, though. You know, Walking Dead did a great job of just being very dramatic, and I don't think that was dramatic enough. I think it was a very it was a slow burning story, and
right.
I suppose the game was the game's a very slow burning story, and it doesn't really kick off until the second one, and that's when it right. really goes into action. And I'm surprised. I'll be surprised, or should I say, I'm looking forward to see what they do after they've done the second season, whether they split it into two. And run the game over two seasons, they might do that. And season four will be The Last of Us 3. They could do that. There's a good chance. There's a good moment actually in the second game where they could do that. Right. And I don't know whether you know where that is or not, but yeah, it's when the gun gets pointed to someone, it's just right. that one scene where you think that's the end of the game, and right. I reckon that they could split that. Oh God, that's a Viking hat now. I can't.
That's fitting. That's fitting though.
Whatever I say, I could smiling, straight faced. I'm just gonna look a fool, you know, with that hat on. I just wasn't blown away. I don't think Shell was really. Anyway, play the video. Which
that surprises me a little bit. And I say surprised me a little bit just because I know you had you very much liked the games.
Mm.
And I felt like the story told in the show was pretty faithful to the game.
Absolutely. And when you mentioned that all of the backstories to the characters, I don't think that could ever be played out in the game. There was just no physical way of doing that. But having that dialogue go on in the series, I thought was just brilliant. It was fantastic. That was great. So there was a lot of things in the TV series that couldn't have been done in the game and probably was beneficial to the characters and the story. But
right.
to me, it just didn't get me enough.
There is one implication in the show, and I won't spoil anything. I would just say, to me, it's an inconsistency when you really stop and look and think about it.
This isn't about the knife blocks, is it?
No, this is not about knife blocks, I promise. it's how they come about explaining Ellie and her ability not to be turned.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. We can talk. We'll talk about that offline.
Yeah,
because I don't want to spoil that for anybody, but when you
it's
really think about it, because they do give that backstory. They show and tell you kind of how she comes to be, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, okay, we're off of that. I will talk about another show that doesn't make sense in a little bit as well, but for now, thank you for that, Pete. I should ask anything else, Pete.
Apart from that, it's just been busy at bloody work. It's been crazy. No, I don't think so. I can't think of anything I've done. Oh, no. I'm going to mention it at the end. Go on. No, go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, never mind. Speaking of busy with work, Robin, what's been going on with you?
Busy couple of weeks work-wise, absolutely. This week, no difference, actually. I mean, tomorrow I've got meetings here in the morning. Got to go to Belfast for a lunch meeting. Then back and do a bit of prep. And then I'm off to the office on Tuesday morning. And then off to Cork, which is about as far away as I can get to from here again. I'm going to a place called Riverstick. Yeah. Riverstick on Tuesday morning.
Do they have boats?
And then I have to go to a big, I don't know, it's a place, a little townland, to meet a customer there. Then I'm going up to see a big client in Cork City. And then that night I drive to a place called Kilkenny. And I'll stay overnight in Kilkenny. And I'm sponsoring a trade show thing on the Wednesday. And I'll be at it. And then drive home. So Tuesday's going to be about 8 hours or 9 hours in the car. And
Cork City, by the way, it sounds like it belongs in Cyberpunk.
You should hear them talk.
This doesn't sound real.
How's it going, boy? I'm from Cork. How you doing?
Okay.
Honestly, that you wouldn't believe it. The accent of a Cork, you just wouldn't believe it.
Potato.
Yeah, that's an English person. That's so tame. It's nothing like it whatsoever. So yeah, no, busy, very, very busy at home. So last week, thank you, we had some extra kids in, so the house is full again. And we had two extra girls in, and they left us on Thursday. And we have, because we had arranged for two other boys who are Irish Muslim friends to come in,
right?
And they were here for the weekend, and they didn't have a place for the two girls, so they were going to send them to a hotel next week with a social worker, which is kind of nutty. Yeah. So even though we could do with the break, they're coming back here tomorrow evening for another 6 or 8 weeks, and hopefully the mother will get herself sorted out, dried out, and.
Yeah, a little odd that she would send them to a hotel.
No, it was the social. That's the social work system.
No, I mean, I get it was the social work that was recommending that, but it's like, was the social worker going to be there with them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, crazy. So crazy.
I envision them just being there by themselves for some dumb reason, and I'm like, that makes no sense to me.
So,
you know, mate, it might be a stupid question, Robbie, but when you're busy during your week and you've got your week planned and then something like that happens, what do you do? Like, personally, you think, I've got to be at work, I've got to be down at this place, and then all of a sudden I've got two people that are coming home to stay with us for a few nights.
Robin's going to give you an answer, and then I'm going to give you the real answer.
No.
Did you get support, or did you...
The answer is Judith and I are a fucking awesome team, and that's probably about it. We tag team like mad, and we don't waste a minute. Honestly, I was chatting to some chaps today. I was sending some messages, answering some messages within the racing community, and one guy said, "Oh, you're an inspiration." God, I don't think I could ever use that word. It's just I use every minute of the day. I just don't have any time, and the time that I do have, I make the most of it. I'm sure everybody has busy lives, absolutely, and I'm not complaining in the slightest, because I have a very good life. But today, this is the first I've stopped probably today between. With so many people in the house, Judith goes out to church on a Sunday morning with most of the kids, and then I do all the ironing and get the washing all sorted. So that was 2 hours or 2.5 hours of getting school uniforms ready for all of these kids, and then getting dinner ready all at the same time, keeping an eye on Jasmine, getting dinner over with. Then we had a birthday party with one of the other foster kids in another house to go to, then straight back again, showering Jasmine, getting her fed, bed. Judith was out until 8, and then straight out here. I had half an hour with Judith for a cup of tea, and then out here. And then after this, I've got some racing work to work on a bit of a video. And then we'll be up and we'll be at it again from 5:30 or 6 tomorrow morning. So, yeah, and that's kind of normal. That's kind of
normal.
I take
it back. Robin gave the answer I was going to give, which is Judith. It's the Judith partnership with Judith. Yeah.
Now, there's no saying about me. No. And in fact, We'll get to it in a while, but I was racing at Silverstone this week, and I've had to introduce I redone one of the videos, and I had that many beeps in it, because I lost the plot, and one of the guys said, "Hey, you made me look like an angel, and I'm a Navy man," so I'm introducing a Chris Perry swear box. Now, when I'm racing, and we'll see how much money goes into that. No, I'm no Saint Boomer. This is the life that we have. This is the life. No, it's the life we have. So, you know, busy. I've an opportunity within work to expand my role to 3 times what it is right now. And I'm debating. Oh yeah, I was at a trade show this week as well. Goodness. Anyway, So the role is expanding, and we're in discussions about packages and different bits and pieces right now. And it's a very interesting role. So it's taking over like responsibility for half of the company. And that half of the company is responsible for 3/4 of the company's sales. So Yeah, that's an interesting rule there. So it's how you juggle it all. But we find balance, so we have to find balance. So we have some nice treats planned into our schedule for this year, Vegas being one of them. Judith gets to Mallorca. We have a holiday booked. I booked a thing the other night just for a double date night with some of our friends in early June. It's James Bond by candlelight. You get to shag every James Bond. No, it's it's the Ulster Orchestra. So it's a full symphony orchestra and singers from the West End, and drinks and cocktails and candlelight in a lovely big theatre. And it's lots of theme, all the James Bond themes. And I thought, God, that sounds like an interesting night. Let's go and do that. So yeah, you have to plan in when you're a busy schedule. You plan in. You know, I remember talking before that. If I was to pull up my calendar now, it's segmented time-wise, and I build in space and time, and minute by minute is important. So when I do my racing stuff, and racing at Silverstone, I was racing at Silverstone, Christopher Matthew. it looks like I've got lots of time to make videos and other bits and pieces, but I don't. It's just the time that I have, and I get asked to come and join different races and even the games night and stuff like that there. It's difficult because I have very little time, and if I have time, it's usually after 10 o'clock at night for a couple of hours, you know. And I do about 5 hours sleep, 4.5, 5 hours sleep, and that's me, and away I go again. That's the norm for me. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I've done a lot of driving this week. Fell in love with the new book. Of course, R.C. Bray. You're going to love this. I actually think it's a series as well. It's called Infinite, by a guy called Jeremy Robbins, and it was just got me. Just brilliant. Really, really good. So how would you describe it? Spacey. Okay. So people on a spaceship, and you wake up, and someone sticking a knife into your chest. You're in cryo sleep, and you wake up, and as you wake up, somebody's trying to kill you. And you wake up in the ship, and there's a madman who was your friend, and he's killed nearly all of the 50 crew, and you're on this mission to try and save Earth because it's going to hell in a handbasket, and the Mars settlement is all going downhill, and you're going out to this big new planet, and then you're in this virtual world that you do coding in, and all the bits and pieces that goes along with that. And there's still one member of staff that you've fancied for years still in cryo. She's asleep, and should you wake her up, and it turns out that they've adjusted your body that you're almost immortal, that you repair yourself and you can die, and then you wake back up again. Just so good, so many wrinkles. So it's got computery stuff and spacey stuff and a bit of horror stuff in it, and the story's fantastic.
Don't spoil it. I've got two Audible credits, man.
No, loads. No, there's tons more. Right. And it's funny in places. It's funny in places and sexy in places, and yeah, I would highly recommend Infinite.
It's like our podcast.
Yeah, sexy and parrot hats. Jeremy Robbins.
Yeah. Christopher Matthew, hello. Lauren, hi, Chris. Hello. Boomer, hey. Hello. Snoogans. Pound Sand.
Snoogans.
I got the first kill, Snoogans. That's all I'm going to say. When we went on our one. I don't care what the final score was, Snoogans. I understand that, but I got the first kill. Okay. Thank you for that, Robin. I do appreciate you going on. And Kim, I think we need to talk about some stuff.
We do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I already talked about spring. It's going to be here. As a matter of fact, at the end of the week, they're talking like 60-some degrees, maybe 70s. So I'll be breaking out the shorts and flip-flops. Yay! So anyway, other than that, Tony was here this week, and he watches The Mandalorian. So he wanted to know if he could watch The Mandalorian. I don't remember now which day it was. So I haven't watched the first two seasons, so don't yell at me yet. But I did watch, except for the newest one that was just out this past week, I did watch, was it three episodes out already?
So okay, yeah.
I watched those. I can say I like Bo-Katan. There needs to be more of her, I'm just saying.
There will be. Starbuck? Starbuck. Starbuck.
Starbuck.
Yeah. Or Vic from Longmire, however you want to go there. Fine. Yeah. Except now he's put the fucking helmet back on, so I'm like, oh, all right, whatever. I'm not kind of pissed about that deal. I'm like, I just get into this. And I
every Star Wars fan's like, keep the helmet on, and you're like, take it off.
You're right. You know.
How do I eat?
And I have to side with Greg on this one. Baby Yoda. He was fun for like the first episode or so, but then after a while, it just kind of like, okay, we get it. Yeah, he's cute and everything, yada, yada, yada. But do we have to do this every fucking episode? I mean, yeah, whatever. Or maybe I'm just cynical and I watch kids all the time. So after a while, the cuteness just kind of... But anyway, yeah, Mandalorian. I'm going to have to go back now and watch the first two seasons. I'm kind of lost because, of course, I haven't watched them yet. But the whole part in the middle with the scientist dude and the chick and the crackers and all
so,
that.
So you watched, that episode's called The Convert. And I actually really liked that episode.
Right.
It's fine.
I just didn't understand it exactly because, of course, I haven't watched.
And fair. Yeah. I don't think, to be honest, seeing any of those other episodes are really going to help you out.
Gotcha.
But it felt very in line with Andor.
Yes.
And I liked that. They took their time building up some characters and kind of explaining some quirks. And of course, they have some surprise and twists and turns within it. I loved all of that. The next episode is called The Foundling. Mm-hmm. And it's like they took three steps back.
Ooh.
And that's just – there's a lot to criticize and nitpick in that episode. And I'm not going to spoil anything right
here. What was the latest one called?
The latest one's called The Foundling.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I watched it. Yeah, with stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Flying things. Climbing.
Yeah.
Good.
It's just like attention to detail wasn't there. You know, if you're trying to stay quiet, you don't put a campfire on and camp underneath relatively close by. Just saying.
Of course not. No.
And I'm really getting the whole "this is the way" thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really now is "this is stupid." Anytime I hear that, I'm like,
they're very, very unclever people. They're really like they have all the brains and all the brawn, but no brains whatsoever, and they're like a pile of big wimps. Like, everybody, let's practice our fighting on the beach.
Where just 2 weeks back, a giant monster came out and killed multiple people.
Bounty hunter type dudes. What the fuck is going on here? Because they're just getting their asses kicked left. I mean, I realize it's like a 1,000-ton fucking snapping turtle, but still, with as many of these guys as there were, you thought they could have took this turtle down like nothing.
And to that episode. So okay, yes, we're spoiling things. I apologize.
Sorry.
Hasn't seen The Mandalorian yet, but Kim, that battle, that first battle with the giant snapping turtle monster thingy,
right.
The entire time I'm thinking, just run in the fucking cave.
Right.
It's right there.
Right.
It's right there.
I was gonna say, was it a fast turtle?
No. There.
Oh, I don't know, Pete. It was beyond ridiculous. Anyway,
right.
Mandalorian continues to be hit and miss for me.
Right.
Okay.
What else?
Well, I will continue watching. Like I said, I'm kind of pissed they're doing the whole helmet has to go back on thing, but okay. So.
Well.
Sorry, I watched a thing called the Recruit. About this lawyer guy who joins the CIA. He's a young guy, 24 years old, and he's sort of chucked into the midst of espionage. It's a series on on Sky or ITV, or it's an American guy. No, I haven't. The Recruit.
I'm not
familiar. Good. No, that's good.
Okay.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Well, I will say a new show I started watching, and I think it's Amazon Prime, if I'm not mistaken, but it's called Hunters. It's already in season two. Al Pacino's in this. I never really heard anything about it, but it's kind of it has some root in reality around Nazi war criminals that fled to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's been out for a while.
It has two seasons. It starts off really strong. I was just like, "Holy crap!" Okay, interesting. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the alternative future with the Nazis and Wolfenstein, but not really. You know, they're not out in the open. They're still in hiding. They're trying to keep themselves from being found. Mm-hmm. But there is this network, if you will. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I really got hooked into it. I think I ended up watching like 5 episodes on Friday night. And then finally I was just like, okay, I got to go to bed because morning is going to come fast. But very much enjoying it. I would definitely recommend Hunters. At least check it out. That first episode, if it doesn't hook you, then you're good. You can probably stop watching it. But I think you probably like it. The whole start of my week, and I should ask him, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm good.
Oh.
Carry on.
I will carry on then. So the start of the week was nuts. Monday afternoon time, Colin started having a bunch of seizures. He was sent home. We ended up, we gave him his emergency medications to try and calm the seizures. Nothing was working. And we've been down this rabbit hole before with him, and know that ultimately we're going to the hospital. We're going to ER. But we were putting it off, just hoping he was going to fall asleep and that it would help kind of reset things. And that just didn't happen. So at midnight, we go to ER. We were there until like 3:30 in the morning. I ended up coming home, probably getting about 2 hours of sleep, turning back around, going back to the hospital so Cindy could come home. She ended up going to her work. I stayed at the hospital until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Colin was released and everything was good. Yeah, but it threw the entire week off.
No doubt.
After that, I was just constantly like a day behind on everything. So yeah, I don't recommend it. Don't start your week off in the hospital. If you can avoid it, I would recommend. I am transforming my office a little bit further.
Ooh.
So, you can't really see it, but my desk and stuff is all going to change out. I'm getting a motorized desk that will be a standing desk. So, that's going to change. I'm also going to put in some different, office furniture for like drawers and, file cabinets. But that'll all be kind of on this side, so you'll never see it behind me. But that is all being delivered today via Amazon. And so I get to look forward to putting stuff together.
Woohoo!
Nice. Yeah.
And it's going to be probably worse than IKEA, because at least IKEA, yes, you have to put it all together, but the instructions are usually pretty good.
Right.
This stuff I'm pretty sure is all coming from China, and I'm pretty sure that they looked at the instructions and they take that little tiny picture and they just stick it in the instruction manual.
Right.
And it's got all the different arrows and you can barely read anything. So we'll see how that turns out.
There'll be mangled English in there that you can't understand what they're trying to say. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But yeah. How much is the saving compared to IKEA furniture, though? That's what you got to weigh up, I suppose.
It was the type of stuff that I wanted. Was ultimately what IKEA just didn't offer that up. So, I mean, probably about the same, to be honest. IKEA is pretty cheap. So, there's that.
Do you know, I watched the film as well today. Sorry to jump in. I'll say today. No, this week, Luther on Netflix.
Oh, really good.
That was good. I love Luther. Mm. I love the TV series, Luther. I don't know whether you can get it over in the States. A BBC TV series, and while you're on about watching things on TV, I watched Luther on Netflix, and it's a little bit James Bondy towards the end, but fantastic. You got to watch it.
He would have been a really good Bond. He would have been good.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Too popular though, because normally they'd just pick out nobodies, don't they, for Bonds, and then they end up being massive.
I live in hope. I live in hope.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to watch it. Please watch it.
Luther. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will keep an eye out for it. You said Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And then last but not least, I have started the workout regimen for Vegas. My goal is to get down to 205 for Vegas. Like, that's my goal.
What? Yeah. Why?
Because we're going to be poolside, baby.
And what?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to pool? I mean, one of my son's T-shirts today that he came home and he brings his laundry home every weekend, it says, I love hot moms. I was thinking about, I should get one of those for Vegas. Seriously? I mean, who are you going to impress?
I will say this.
I mean, do I have to shave my back again? Do I have to shave my back and all that?
I've got one that says, I wear cock cages.
Okay.
If you wear that one, I'll wear that one. I'll wear a cock cage one.
Yeah, I'm definitely wearing my
I'm bringing my baked bean shirt for sure.
Let's go, I'm putting on my Let's Go Brandon.
Oh, you'll fit right in. So last night, okay. Cindy and I, our date night was we hit the gym first.
Oh.
And then we went and hit there was a new Mexican restaurant we went to, which is great. Very much enjoyed that. But at the gym, I dropped a 45-pound plate on my foot.
Oh, shit.
Can I just recommend not doing that?
Have you broke anything?
No, it didn't fall very far. That was the good thing. It was on the rack, and I was pulling it off, and I wasn't paying attention. It slipped out of my hand and just popped off my foot. So I have a nice bruise going on, like, the top, like, left side of my foot.
So how much weight have you got to lose to get to 205 then? Are you going to say, like, 3 pounds? No.
I'm at 215 right now. So okay. I'm a tenner, I'll be good. I'll be happy.
You see, I just need to get stretched a little bit because, you know, I am about...
And me.
Yeah.
I am the heaviest I've ever been.
Because...
That's as far as I'm going.
What am I? What was that? I am just under 14 stone. So what is that?
Okay.
What is that? 14 times 14.
200 pound nearly.
Yeah, there you go. So but Greg's a little bit taller than me, but he's about the same weight.
Yeah.
But it's all muscle.
I'm at the minute, I'm around 270. I'm the heaviest I've ever been.
270. Very tall. You are tall.
Yeah, but I'm massive now at the minute. I'm huge.
Shows your arm. Stand up, shows your bum. Go on.
We're going to just call you the mountain.
Regular belly.
Pete, we're just call you the mountain.
I'm like wrestler standard with a big belly.
Giant haystacks with ginger as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. I feel like Big Daddy at the minute.
Now, have you been swimming, though? What's going on with the swimming?
It's just... Everything's just gone to shit, man.
You're just floating. You're no longer swimming. You're just floating.
I'm sinking, not even swimming.
Yeah. At some stage, you're definitely going to be getting wake up in the morning and jumping into the pool, aren't you? Just into the lake, into the canal.
I think you should just pull your boat from where it's at now to your house. Just
by my neck.
Yep.
By my neck.
Because I also know it's going to be hotter than heck in Vegas when we go, it will be in the upper 80s for sure, so therefore I know shorts, that kind of thing, are going to be in order. So
why is a ginger going to hang out at the poolside at 80 degrees?
You will, Pete, you will. We'll lather you up. We'll stick all the white stuff all over you, so you're gonna just look like a bright.
You're gonna
white
lather
bowl.
Me up.
Wow. Oh yeah, baby. Wow. Yeah, we're gonna lather you up. All right. All right. This got very gay. hey, let's talk video games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
God. I just saw the chat.
Oh, dear.
All right. I'm going to go first real fast. Pretty straightforward for me.
Phone
I play.
Ringing?
I do not hear a phone ring. Oh, God. Yes, I do. Who are we
this
calling?
This is the Vodafone voicemail service for 07717. One.
It was a dick move.
007.
Please leave a message after the tone. When you finish recording, please hang up or press the hash key for
hang
more
up,
options.
Robin.
John, sometime you're going to pick up the phone. Even though I've publicly listed your phone on this podcast right now, I will have to go in and beep that out. Sorry, dude. So pick up the phone. Hello, this is the Overseas Connection. You've won a massive prize. If you phone us back within the next 5 minutes, you will be able to win that prize. Thank you. Goodbye.
Dear God. Anyway.
Anyway.
Number on that is
just letting it go. That's the best part. What service is that they just announce your phone number?
All phones, all answering services over here.
Voicemail up with your name or anything. They'll read out your phone number.
It's just
is that? Yeah, I don't think I've ever had.
He hasn't got
not
a personalized message. He doesn't have a personalized. Yeah. If you don't have a personalized message,
what is wrong with you people? Set up your phone voicemails. Come on.
Goodness.
Anyway, okay. Atomic Hearts. I continue to play. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. and Halo 3 Season 3 and the weekly events. We've been playing a lot of that, the multiplayer side of it. I completely was like, okay, the event is ending in a couple days yesterday, and so I'm like, I've got to just like get on it. I tried convincing Snoogans to play some on Friday, but he had actually already been playing for quite a while. So I just went in solo, was playing a bunch, and I was noticing I'm like not progressing on the event. On the regular season pass, I was going up in levels. But the event specifically, apparently you can only progress through the challenges for that event. If you don't do the challenges, you don't progress at all. Kind of was frustrating because for some dumb reason, I was not cluing in on that. And up until last night, I was still trying to get the events done. But finally realized also the event is going to come back. So they actually will take a little bit of time off from it. It'll come back and allow you to complete it at a later date. And I think it's like in a couple of weeks that they'll come back on it. So it ends today, but it'll come back. They're doing, I think, a really good job with Halo now in terms of the season pass stuff, the events, the in-game rewards that you get. I feel like they feel more substantial. They feel like they're coming at a better pace as well. So my hope is that not only are they going to continue this in terms of the constant flow of content, but that we're also going to see these seasons start turning over a little faster as well. I don't think we can go another 6 months for season four. That just feels a little ridiculous. So, all right, that's me. That's it. Robin, let's talk about your failures in Silverstone.
I didn't have any failures. I don't feel. Okay, so, all right. Realistically, what has happened? So season, let me just get some video up here, first of all. I'll do that. And it's a bit of fun. And we'll get that going. And we'll just start that again. Okay, and it's only a minute and a half long, so that's all I've got. Okay, so the season in ACC has finished. Season 9 is complete. Out of my 4,000-odd people that were in my thing, it's now closed out. And I was 75th. So I'm very, very happy about that. That's, 79th. I've sort of done my goals. I think the last time I was 550th in the championship. So that's pretty cool. And new set of targets for next season, which there's a week or two off now, and away we go. I've been making nice little videos. I've got one up there on the black art of tire pressures. So if you want to check that out on my YouTube channel. I was in Silverstone, racing Silverstone last week, and it was so friggin' frustrating. It was unbelievable, to the point where the follow-up video that I did, I had to bleep myself out so many times. I raced at it four times and was punterinoed in every race. It was one of the most challenging races I have had all season, and I ended up, in the last race, I had qualified in sixth, and it was one of the hardest 10th places I got. The whole idea, it's the best 10 of 12 races, and I was trying to wipe out some of my bad results, and managed to do that with a 10th. So now the season review video I'm working on right now is there, and also what car will I drive next time round? Because next time round I'm going, what should I do? Should I have something fun, like a different car? So I'm thinking, something completely different. So I've had a light car, which was the McLaren, and I've had a big heavy car, which is the AMG, which is I've really, really loved. Here's a Punterino's thing coming up, I think. No, it's not this lap. And I'm thinking, I usually take them all out for a few laps, vanilla. Yeah, right. And just see where that skill level is now compared to the last season. Because I've improved about 2 seconds a lap per circuit, which is a lot. Targets for next season is to get into the top 50, up a division, and finish in the top 10 in pretty much every week. Which those are the new targets. But I'm thinking about...
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah. It's a suit.
I think you should let the chat determine what vehicle you drive next.
No. Yeah. I got one. No.
Christopher Matthew would actually be a good source for this.
Yeah, okay. Well, Christopher, I'm thinking about going a complete animal of a car. There are three new cars being released, or updated cars, on the 19th of April for ACC Competizione, which is the new Ferrari, an update to the Lamborghini, and a new Porsche. Now, Porsche is the one car in the whole thing which has an engine in its backside. All the other cars are either mid-engine or front-engine. And it does a lot to the way the car drives. It's very nimble, but it's very, very floaty on the back end. And it does.
Is it all-wheel drive or is it...
No, it's a rear-wheel. Rear-wheel. Okay. They're all rear-wheel drive.
Gotcha.
So, the engine. This is rear-wheel drive. But it is very, very... loose on the back end, very, very difficult to drive, and people think that it's an absolute nightmare of a car to drive. But if you can master it, you can do very, very well. And I'm thinking I like that challenge. So I've had mid in
front. Rumor says Porsche.
Porsche, yeah, I think so. The 911 GT3.
Christopher Matthews suggested a tuned-up tractor.
Joe, I watched a video today. So funny, just this morning, about these three guys, and they're like three guys from England, and they go around doing like they buy old go-karts like from eBay for like a couple of hundred quid, and they go to a track and set them up. And today, the three of them went to a very English thing. They went to tractor racing. Lawnmower racing event, not tractor racing. Lawnmower, so it's like right on, tuned up, right on lawnmowers that go up to 45, 50 miles per hour around the field, and they took part in this thing. Very probably big in America as well. But
second vote for Porsche just came in, by the way.
Yeah,
I goodness. Think you got to go Porsche.
Yeah, do you know what? I took it for a few laps today, I actually had a dream about it last night. Imagine dreaming and thought, yeah, got to do it. This is the way.
Wow.
It's odd. I'm wondering if you can hear the sound if I turn up the audio here. Yeah, can you hear that audio? Hold on a second.
No.
From YouTube.
Illegal is just done in 2 minutes.
No, you can't. No.
No. That's your quickest lap.
You know, I've got to say, Robin, I don't take notes on what courses that you're going on, but just looking at your videos as they're progressing now, you're getting a lot more interaction through the chat, and I love how you review like your race afterwards, and it's great to watch.
Yeah, it's good fun. Yeah. Well, I know you're a few seconds behind here, but I think this is the fourth race, the 10th place that I got here, and I'm within the next 45 seconds or so, I'm going to get punted from the rear, and I made the rim blue. And people were giggling because I had a complete meltdown at the idiotic why fucking
yep. I'm well versed.
Absolutely no. It's the next. It must be the next lap. Yeah. So I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I adjusted one of my screens on my rig. I wonder if I have got rig photographs here. Yeah, I will. I'll bring up a rig photograph here. And the rig it's sort of got out of hand. Where do you see this here? Yeah, sort of got out of hand. Where's the rig?
No. I must say, by the way, is very impressed with your rig. So
most people are impressed with your rig, Robin.
So I'm gonna bring that a bit bigger here.
But there was somebody, and I apologize on Twitter. I believe somebody cited you and posted a picture of a new racing.
Yeah, I've seen that. And you know what? I wasn't that impressed with that one. It's a good rig, but it has round frame, and I want a solid aluminium frame. So you can see from that photograph now, people that aren't watching, sorry, I have three main screens that the race is in. Above one screen is for the stats and bits and pieces and quickly logging on to the events. And then the right-hand top screen now is a portrait screen, which was down on the floor to the left, and it was very hard to see the chat. So I was driving along, looking down, and then crashing into a wall. So now I've put this on a light, like a tripod stand up high, and that's really cool. So the thing, it has really developed well. This year we've added the big new fancy Formula racing wheel. We've added these new Husqvarna pedals, which are just absolutely fantastic. The Go XLR down to my side here, to my left hand, and it's fantastic. It is a really cool rig, and I actually added the camera just to my left where my cup holder is, and it's pointed at my hands now at the wheel rather than the side cam. So you're getting that. Because some people put cameras down under their feet. I know to see their pedal work, but a lot of them drive in socks. I just don't get it. So So my rig is kind of cool. Over the next year, I am going to change the actual frame itself. I want something more heavy duty. But apart from that, I've got a fantastic setup. So
I think you need to buy something that has a motor in it and actually moves with you. That
would be. Would you believe it's called a butt kicker? There's a thing called a butt kicker, and it goes underneath your seat and it ties in, and it's not movement. It's not movement, but it's vibration. So you feel the vibrations of the road.
Yep.
Now there's lots of different movement rigs. There's some which look like friggin' quad pod, tripod, alien things. But there's ones that do go up, maybe up and down, maybe 4 inches, like one in each corner. And when you brake, it throws you forward. When you accelerate, and you
interesting,
know, yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah,
do it, Robin. Do it. Do it.
The butt kicker. I like the feeling that feeling might be good. And the butt kicker is about £200.
Just want to know what happens when you visit the adult sites.
Yeah, butt kicker. Anyway, it's cool. I enjoy my racing. As some of the chaps had said today, you know, I'm an older racer. You've encouraged me to get out racing again. And before, I wasn't confident enough to get into some of the live lobbies and things like that. So if I can encourage people to do that, people more mature like us, that still, I'm not interested in just taking part. I want to be at the pointy end. And that's why I'm putting in the time and the effort in just this one particular discipline. And it's not just about being at the back of the field. I want to be up at the front challenging. You can have some great races down the back as well, but I want to be there. So the people, the older, more mature guys that still have a passion to race rather than just with bots or stuff like that there, if I help one person. But saying that, I would still be, if it wasn't for the streaming, I would still be racing. So, it's good fun. So,
Well, look, you've been doing an awesome job with the videos. I think we are all in awe.
Oh God, it's so friggin' hard. I
believe it.
The subscribers aren't everything, but I've struggled. It's been around 180 odd, and now it's 195. The more get good content up, the subscribers come up. But when I look at some of these guys, it's just nutty.
It's a full-time job. If you want to make it something,
it's not going to be a full-time job.
I know, but it takes that dedication,
and it's not what it's all about. But Pete, you're right. The interaction with people like locals, like, you know, Step J that we've known, Hardy Dan that would pop in. But there's lots of new folk there that have joined the Bongo Racing team in LFM, which is turning into the thing. And Matthew Bird and Lone, and so many of them are popping in now. It's fabulous, loving it,
spot on. Fair play.
So great stuff. Yeah. So. That's what I've been at. So a week off now, trying to get a hook up organized with a couple of other streamers, a chap out in Greece called Kostas and a guy called Jimmy Kennedy, Red Ken Racing. And we're all started about a year ago in PC sim racing. Kostas would be, he's a lovely guy, he's nice. He's quiet going and stuff, and he's just a lovely way about him. And Jimmy's a rootin' tootin' English guy, Liverpool supporter, tattooed up there. And his rig is built into the cupboard under the stairs, Harry Potter style. And when you're watching the videos, you think, no, but when he went through it one day and he has no room whatsoever, no room. But I was sent another day because they jumped into the stream that I'd love to get an endurance race with us, like a 6-hour race. There was one on today. So that we do something like that together. So three guys that are of middling skill muddling through, and that would be good fun. So more of that. Mm-hmm. More of that. Right. Porsche it is.
Love it.
Porsche it is.
All right. Pete. What's been going on with you?
Let's talk about pussies, cats.
I was starting to type on YouTube.
Oh, I've only played one game, Stray. I started playing it a few weeks ago, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed where the game is going. It it starts off like all cute and you explore these lands like a normal cat would, and then all of a sudden it just takes this real weird turn and goes off like.
Do you know why I put Jeff up of a little Captain Pugwash? Please,
huh?
You know why I put the little animated Jeff up of Captain Pugwash on your picture a little while ago there? Don't search for pussy, Jeff. Don't. No. This is just a public announcement. Don't search for that. Sorry, I might be well.
It's scary, isn't it? I'd hate to look at his in search history.
I'm just checking that the screen was switched off. Wow.
So Stray on the PS5.
Jeff. It's better.
It goes a bit Pete Tong. It goes just like really strange and weird and bad for the cat, I suppose, to start off with, because he's in a right pickle, and yeah, it just it's there's elements of I'd say like an alien beings interfering with what's going on in the environment, as well as a futuristic spin-off on what's happening in the game as well. But it took me 7.5 hours to complete. There's an achievement, I think. There's a trophy on PS5 to complete it within 2 hours. So you must You must be able to just skip through that game like crazy and skip through the dialogue. But and there's various shortcuts. But I don't know. It took me around 7.5 hours, I reckon, to do. I really enjoyed it. It was something that I just bought. Kim was going crazy about it at one point, and he was really looking forward to it from its announcement and release, wasn't it, Kim? So I just saw it's something different. You know, we've not really played a game like this, me and Ryan from work, and we just thought we'll give it a go. You know, half each. I think it was £20, so it was £10 each. Yeah, we just thought we'll give it a go. And do you know what? If you're thinking about playing this game, or you want to play a game that's just different, doesn't take long to complete, doesn't take much to really think about. There's some puzzles in there, but they're not really that difficult. Right. This is a game to pick up and play. You know, I'm the type of gamer that likes to explore. I definitely am that type of person. You know, when I play games like Assassin's Creed and Days Gone and whatever, if you've got an open world, not Days Gone, DayZ, when you've got games where you can just explore everywhere and you can do all these extra missions and whatever, you know, I'm the type of guy for that. And you can't, it is quite linear, really, as far as its story goes. But when you end up in this futuristic town, down in the sewers, and you can kind of explore there and decide missions, and that's where I kind of lost my time, really. So if I kind of knew where the game was going and you wanted to try and complete it in 2 hours, then yeah, I suppose you can. But me being the explorative character that I am, I just wanted to just look around every nook and cranny, and there's achievements and little mini games and things that you can do in that. I just thought it was a real cool, cute game to play. It's fantastic graphics. I can't say the control mechanism for the cat is great. It's a little bit difficult sometimes to navigate round down to the ground to press X on something or interact with something. I found that you almost have to come back on yourself, don't you, Kim, and then walk back to the area and you know, click onto it, and so it's not perfect, but at the same time, you know, you're paying £20 for this game. You're not paying £60 where you expect, like, you know, Call of Duty fast response standards. You know,
if the cat had a Normalite or something like that, there, that'd be good. M16.
it gets a laser, doesn't it?
Well, you eventually get the laser.
Yeah. Don't give it away. Kim already gave that away last podcast.
I played it like last week, so I did the sewer part.
To reunite
the guy with his dad. So,
have you completed it?
I haven't yet, but I figured. Right. Okay. You know.
Right.
Those
well,
Zerg's men are a pain in the ass. I had a hell of a time trying to get away from those damn things. So.
Yeah. Have you seen Do you know what? I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to spoil it. I thought the end was was okay. I was a little bit disappointed with a little segment of the end, but Ayo, you know, it's one of those things. For the money, I enjoyed it. It is something different, and it's well worth picking up.
A fun romp.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. Excellent. Well, Kim, that I think leaves you. So.
Yeah. Right. All righty. Played some more Hi-Fi Rush like normal. So we're still plugging away at that. I'm still no good at those little secret treasure robot things. I'm terrible. So I've just bypassed those from here on out. I don't really care at this point. But something else I played that is different, and I'm sure quite a few of others have played this weekend, is the Diablo 4 beta.
I don't know how many other people played it because the servers were packed.
Friday, so they were terrible.
A lot of queues, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday they weren't too bad, and today they haven't been too bad. Or they've at least done something to make it better, because I didn't have nearly the wait time the last 2 days that I had Friday. Friday was awful, because I'd signed in there, and they're like, you have 45 minutes. Which wasn't bad, because eventually it would go down by like 5 minutes, or by 2 minutes. So it really wasn't 45 minutes, but it still kind of sucked when all I wanted to do was play. And it's not a very long beta, so you kind of have to get in there and, you know, do it. But, Diablo 4. It's definitely something I'm going to buy when it comes out in June, because I haven't pre-ordered it yet, because I'm kind of at the point, it's digital or whatever, why would I want to pre-order it?
I mean, honestly, Kim, the rest of us would like you to order it, though, because then we will get it free.
Right. Well, you know. So. I have till June, so, you know, I mean, I'll eventually cave and buy it. But anyway, I'm definitely going to buy the game. I haven't figured out which if it's the deluxe or the big $100 one or not. But anyway, I've started Friday, put a couple hours in because, like I said, the servers were slammed Friday. So if you could play any longer than that, well, hats off to you, because I couldn't.
But what did you play as?
I am a rogue.
Okay.
So, which, you know, I haven't been too bad at, unless you talk to Phil, but he likes to talk smack, so. but anyway, I played a couple hours Friday, because like I said, servers were bad, but then yesterday, when the kids, like, Owen was asleep and Anthony was playing Xbox, I could sit down with my little Razer Edge and play it on there, and I played, I don't know, 3-4 hours probably on there, and, you know, I played a little bit today.
So did you stream it from the console on there, or?
Yes. Oh, well, I did the remote play.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So, and it works fine. Although, funnily enough, today when I did it, I didn't realize my TV in the bedroom had popped on when I started it. So you could see me in here in the bedroom playing it on the big TV while I was in the living room playing it on the Razer Edge. So the boys would come in here and they would watch it in here on the big TV, and then they'd look in there and I'm playing with it, you know, playing in the living room. So they thought that was interesting. But yeah, it's compared to Diablo 3, it's definitely darker. It's I want to say creepy, but not really creepy, because there wasn't like a lot of jump scares. But it was definitely, it seemed like to me,
the mood.
Yes, Diablo 3 was more, it was the same stuff. You were doing the same thing, but it's more dark now. So if that makes any sense.
And confirm this, because Diablo 3, you know, one of the big knocks on that, or one of the things that they tried to do with that, was they wanted to make it brighter. There was a lot more color in Diablo 3.
There's not in Diablo 4. I mean, there is a little bit, but because I was thinking the same thing.
Right.
But I thought maybe I was getting Diablo 3 and Torchlight mixed up, but the more I got to looking at it, no. There's not nearly the color in this, even like on the weapons and stuff. You know, when you hit like a chest and they would pop up the different colors or whatever they were. It's not like that. I mean, they're still there because you can tell the difference, but they're not as bright and
right. Like, they toned everything down.
Yeah, it's not neon like it was in 3. So, you know, like I said, it's pretty good. Like I said, I think I've got like 20 hours or so left on the beta, and I'm going to see if I can hit level 20. I'm at level 15 right now, so who knows? It's possible. I've got a bunch of little side quest things I can do that'll probably put me up there. But yeah, it's good. Like I said,
graphically speaking, and I'm just going to ask a bunch of these questions. So graphically speaking, would you call this like a big upgrade compared to Diablo 3?
Yeah, I would, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I said, it's something. So I definitely think and I've even had some people that's never played a Diablo game try the beta this weekend, and they were on board. So
okay,
there you go. So if you were a big Diablo fan, then I definitely say June is for you. I think you'll definitely be looking forward to this.
So. I mean, I think across the board, a lot of people have been very happy with what they've seen from Diablo 4.
Right. And I didn't think at first I was going to like seeing all the random people running around, because they do have a little bit of that. Like with Immortal, you have the other players roaming around in the little cities. I didn't think I was going to get along with that, but they can't really grief you, apparently. So they don't really bother me.
Okay.
So, yeah. So. All
right.
Diablo 4, if you like Diablo, or even if you don't think you like Diablo or never played one before, you might actually like this, because I've had quite a few people this weekend go, yeah, we never played one, but we like this, so.
Okay.
Go for it.
I think that's a perfect segue for us to get off of what we have been playing and dive into the news section.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Come on, now. Come on.
It would help if you told us who we're calling, Robin.
This is Luis Raimondo.
Ah, random calls with Robin.
Yeah.
He's probably not answering because he doesn't
know. No idea who it is.
Yeah.
We'll work on that better. News.
Here is the funny news.
Oh my goodness, there's lots of news this week. Believe it or not, there's a PS5 Pro in development, and it has a release window. You'll never get it through a window, but it has a release window. Forbes is reporting that a new report from Tom Henderson at Inside Gaming states that Sony will release a PS5 with a detachable disc drive. That'll be handy. You could take it out with you for a walk. Later this year, to cut down on current PS5 costs, the PS5 Pro is actually a separate unit that may instead be out by late 2024. Further information suggests that Sony has no plans for a PS6 before 2028.
Now, so real fast, that's the Xbox 360 model. The 360, the detachable drive. It's I mean, that immediately came to my mind. I was like, okay. So they have a base unit, detachable drive. Okay.
I'll be damned.
All right. Okay. Amazon Luna is expanding to Canada and Germany and UK. A year after first launching in the US, Amazon Luna is expanding to three new regions starting today. The cloud gaming service is available in Canada, Germany, and UK. The expansion marks the first Amazon customers outside of the US have had a chance to try Luna. If you're a Prime subscriber, the company offers a handful of complimentary drinks and games every month. The March lineup features four games, including Mega Man 11 and Trails from Zero. You can access this Luna library by subscribing to bundles Amazon calls Chanel's for the discerning business woman. For instance, the Luna and Chanel comes with games like Control, Street Fighter 2, and Tetris Effect. By the way, the new Tetris movie out on Apple is coming at the end of this month. It looks very good. Pricing varies by market, but in Canada, for example, Luna Plus costs $13 per month.
Yep.
There's also a Ubisoft Plus channel that comes out with access to the publisher's most popular games. If you're already and own some of Ubisoft's games on PC, you can play those games on Luna, provided you have an Amazon Prime or Luna Plus subscription. More free stuff for almost free.
More cloud gaming.
For information, yeah,
you do not get free drinks.
This is true.
If you are,
unfortunately.
If you're what?
It was a great idea, Robin.
Prime members don't get free drinks. I would love that if we did.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, it would make up for when they deliver my stuff to my neighbor.
Hey,
we'll send you 300 mojitos, sir.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can get some free drinks in Vegas in a few weeks' time. So,
oh dear God,
yeah, get free drinks by gambling. For the record,
Lord,
yeah. I'll just watch.
Ubisoft's new Ghostwriter AI tool can automatically generate video game dialogue. You are the master of unlocking. Ubisoft, maker of popular open-world gaming series like Assassin's Creed, Watch Dogs, hopes to shorten the process of making games with Ghostwriter. This should be funny. A machine learning tool that generates first drafts of barks. Barks is the short name for background chatter in a game.
Bark.
Each piece of dialogue is traditionally handwritten and can be quite an undertaking. To use Ghostwriter narrative writers input the character and the type of interaction they are looking to create. The tool then produces variations, each with two slightly different options for writers to review. As the writers make edits to the drafts, Ghostwriter updates, ideally producing some more tailored options moving forward. The idea here is to save game writers time to focus on the big stuff. That'll be interesting. It depends what they put in. It's like all this AI chatbot stuff at the moment, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so here's one thing. So I was kind of thinking about this, you know, the Bark stuff, as much as I make fun of it. I mean, okay, that's tedious work. So if they can make reasonably sounding dialogue, that's the one, you know, caveat. Obviously, you hope it's not gibberish, but that's great. But I also kind of see like this inroad for RPGs in the future. Imagine having a game that the narrative from the, you know, the NPC characters was all AI generated based on, you know, what you told them. Kind of like what's happening with Bing and the Bing chat.
Oh, I'm terrified of it. I am terrified.
Yeah, but that could be amazing. That, you know, you could have these conversations in game and getting real time like conversations.
But are you not frightened that you'll fall in love with your AI character like in Her, the movie, you know, with Joaquin?
Imagine what that would do to GTA. You know, you look at the NPCs in that. Jeez, that would be scary.
Scary but amazing all in the same breath.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I mean, all right, continue on.
Just hoping for aliens, colonial marines. That would be, I would add to it as well, wouldn't it? Xbox head says Microsoft's mobile game store could arrive next year. Okay. Why is this such a big thing? Microsoft is preparing to launch an Xbox store on iOS and Android as early as next year, according to Phil the T-shirt Spencer. The head of the company's gaming division shared a timeline in a Financial Times interview on Monday, noting the plan is dependent on regulators approving Microsoft's $68.7 billion acquisition of Activision, Blizzard, and free drinks. We want to be in a position to offer Xbox content from both us and our third-party partners across any screen where somebody would want to play, Spencer told the outlet. Today, we can't do that on mobile devices, but we want to build up towards a world that we think will be coming where those devices are opened up.
So no, this was interesting.
Yeah, you talked about this week and said...
Yeah, they had a mobile store at one point and they pulled it off.
Yes.
And my understanding was that was an Apple, Google thing that they, you know, they wanted their cut. And so if you had a store on those platforms, that they basically would take their cut. And so it wasn't really profitable, I think, for Microsoft to keep it up there. But interestingly, Sony still has their store available.
Yeah.
So I really wonder kind of what the real dynamic is behind the scenes on that. You know, how much a cut does Apple and Google take?
Because even Steam, on their mobile app, you can still buy Steam games. Yeah. So why can't Xbox? It doesn't make sense.
No.
Huh. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery wrapped up in an enigma and a free drink. Her Horizon Forbidden West DLC date and cost. The DLC will only be available on PS5. Huh. And land, that's terrible. Why is it not coming to Xbox? Are they keeping that behind the paywall? And lands,
the PlayStation 4.
And lands April 19th. Oh, yeah, it's not on the 4. Oh, that's old hat now. It's long, long ago. Yeah. It needs to be switched off. April 19th, 2023. The Burning Stores DLC will take Aloy to Los Angeles. For $19.99 US. There you go. You couldn't get to Los Angeles on a Greyhound bus for $19.99, but you can take Aloy to Los Angeles for the same. Players who pre-order Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores DLC on the PlayStation Store will get two free in-game items. The Black Tide Dye outfit. Ooh, lovely. And the Black Tide Sharp Shot Bow. Excellent. Wonderful. Free things.
This game's still expensive. It's still expensive, this game. I'm really dying to play this game, but...
Hold on for a sale, Pete.
So the kids that we had for with us weekend, they brought their Nintendo Switches with them, and they'd been to see their father before they came to us on Friday afternoon, and he lives in England, flies over once a month to see them, and completely messes them up. But... the kids going, oh, my daddy's rich, and they pulled out of the box a bag 15 Switch games. 15.
Wow.
Talk about overcompensating. Yeah, my right. Daddy's rich. Yeah, he might be rich in money, but that's about it. Yeah, so everything like Ori and all the latest stuff, just all wrapped, sealed, not secondhand. Anyway.
Don't care for anything there, does it?
Sorry, the reason I say that is because they're expensive games. You won't buy a Switch game for even a budget one less than 30 quid, and they're usually all 50 quid. So, yeah.
Nintendo does not put their games on sale often.
No.
They do not.
But Horizon Forbidden West is still holding its money as well. The Horizon game. Yep.
PS5, A-list games on PS5, they do. They cost some, don't they? And it's hard to get them in a sale now and again. You see them, but they're hard to come by. Can't wait to play it.
Do you know what's happening with Counter-Strike 2, Pete?
Does it arrive this summer?
It does. It's coming free with a free drink and an upgrade for CSGO. The rumours were true. Valve has just taken the wraps off Counter-Strike 2, announcing a limited beta that is available to select members of the game's community. The studio says the sequel will overhaul every system, piece of content, and part of the Counter-Strike experience. As expected, Valve is moving the game to the latest version of its in-house Source 2 engine, leading to a notable leap in graphical fidelity. High fidelity! Counter-Strike 2 leveling up the world on YouTube. When the full version of the game arrives this summer, Counter-Strike 2 will be a free upgrade to Counter-Strike. That's what it says. It's the same again. There you go. So when did CSGO come out? Nappies and diapers?
Before I was born, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. It was
I don't know. It might be the big thing. It might be the thing that will replace everything.
I think the Counter-Strike community is excited for this. I saw some of the video. There's actually a link to the video. That's what you read off. It looks like a pretty amazing upgrade. Some of the other things, the smoke, they said, will actually have physics to it, to where, like, if you shoot an explosion or shoot through it, it will actually move the smoke and part, you know, so you can effectively change how that is interfering with your vision, so to speak. So I think the community is going to love it. If you're a Counter-Strike fan, you are excited for this update, for sure.
It's got a dedicated following, hasn't it, this game?
Yeah. And everything, from my understanding, is going to carry forward. So all the stuff that you have in CSGO is going to move forward to Counter-Strike 2.
The only trouble, though, is it going to make it too difficult for people who are new into picking up this game, Counter-Strike 2?
That's interesting you said that. They do go into a pretty in-depth conversation about how they're actually trying to make it easier for people to get into Counter-Strike 2. Things like grenade trajectory this time around will actually have an indicator. So you're not going to have to spend a lot of time learning how to throw a grenade. You're going to pretty well understand where it's going to go when you toss it. So those little things are adding in to try and tweak it just enough to make it friendly for new players.
Yeah.
But I think it's still going to be a fairly hardcore game, with a dedicated following for sure.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, that looks cool. You can tell that there's a Half-Life feel to the graphics, the crispness.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anyway, okay, good stuff. And we will finish up here with Spider-Man 2. He's spinning his nasty little webs in September. A tweet on March 21st from the voice actor Tony Todd via IGN, who plays Venom in the game, may have shortened that time frame. Tony Todd's tweet. Alleges that Marvel's Spider-Man 2 will launch in September with a marketing push to lead up to it in August. He said in his tweet, like September, massive publicity coming in August. Commercials start dropping in August, so I'm told. So hold on to your 4 stars and hold breath. Going to be necessary. The puddles are awesome.
So, Spider-Man 2, Starfield, looks like they're going to go head-to-head.
Go.
That should be interesting. September's going to be a good month for games.
Very, very different type of clientele. And Lance Riddick will feature in the future Destiny content, Bungie confirms. Very good.
I don't think we talked about this last week, but Lance Riddick did pass away out of the blue. If you're not familiar with Lance Riddick, he was in quite a bit of good stuff.
Yeah, the big deep voice.
Yes. Yep. Voice actor. He played the hotel manager in the John Wick movies.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
I'm watching Pete's face trying to strike a
thumbs up.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I have seen the John Wick movies as well.
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
You'll recognize him. He's been in lots of cop shows.
Yeah, you'll definitely recognize him.
That one that I love as well.
I'll Google him.
Set in LA.
He was also in Quantum Leap.
Bosch.
He played a role in Quantum Leap.
The game.
Quantum Break.
Quantum Break.
He was quite a young man too.
Hey, the next piece of news. This is the most important news you can cover for the entire year.
Aliens Dark Descent gets a release date and a new gameplay trailer. Aliens Dark Descent will be released on June 20th on that thing, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and is being developed by Upfront Studio Telandos Interactive, which previously worked on Battlefield Gothic Armada 2, a game we all know so well. And there is actually a trailer here, and I'm going to pull it up right now, and you're going to see this trailer in a few seconds.
The most important thing you need to know, Pete, this is a tactics game.
Ooh, it's a filler. No, it's not a filler.
It looks really good. Honestly, it looks great. I'm now very, very, like, this is on my radar. This came out of GDC, by the way. There was a lot of stuff that came out of GDC. Tidbits of updates.
You want to say tidbits, weren't you? You want to say tidbits.
There's tidbits.
I know who he is.
Thank God.
Oh, it's like one of your WhatsApp messages. Yep.
Anyway, there was a lot more that happened in GDC. I didn't pull all of that in because it was just too much to cover. But there were some incredible things going on at GDC. If you are interested in any of that, you should go do some searching. There was a on-screen demonstration, on-stage demonstration of them taking a character and basically animating it from their phone within like 3 minutes using the Unreal 5 engine. It was kind of bonkers how well that came out. There was a Hellblade 2 voice capture where they took the gal that plays the main character and they had her say a couple lines on stage, and then within minutes they translated that into the digital character and it looks amazingly lifelike. I think we're going to get, the future is very bright for video games. That's cool. I think the best takeaway from GDC.
Excellent.
And Aliens looks awesome.
It does look good. That does look good. I'll give you that.
Robin.
Okay.
The next area. This was the crazy part of the week in from the news, if you ask me.
Okay, we're going to keep this quick because we are running long. Redfall previews dropped to mostly positive impressions. Redfall, good news for many who were concerned that this was Left 4 Dead all over again. Numerous outlets got hands on the game at a preview event for 90 minutes and played it exclusively in single-player game. Arkane said that the game is built to be played as a single-player experience that can be playing in co-op will be a very different play. Arkane also stated that they are actively working to drop their always online requirement for when playing in single-player mode. Now, this is the one that we've seen demos of people in the attic and fighting zombies sort of. Okay, that looked good.
Yep.
That
looked good. It's the vampire game.
Okay. Microsoft scrapped a PS5 version of Redfall.
This set Twitter on fire.
Says Arkane director. And suddenly everyone cared about Redfall. Redfall was also in development for PlayStation 5 before Microsoft acquired Bethesda, according to the game's director. This version was ultimately cancelled. All right, so something passed by there. And this version was ultimately cancelled and the game became exclusive to Microsoft platforms. In an interview with IGN France, Arkane's Javier Smith explained that we got bought by Microsoft and the Minky, and that was a huge sea change. They said, "No PlayStation 5! I spit on your PlayStation 5!
That's German!
Now we're going to do Game Pass, Xbox, and PC. Slap it up, yous! Yay!"
Anyway. My take, if the game has never been announced for your platform of choice, then you can't say it was taken away from you.
It
was never given to you. So there's tons of stuff that gets, it's in development for different platforms from time to time, and then they change course. This is one of those situations. You don't see, Mac, Apple people angry over Halo because originally that was meant for Apple.
I know, but you know, anyway. With you know, TikTok, I mean, can it connect to Wi-Fi? On Thursday, a US senator slams Sony's monopoly on Japanese games, then gets slammed right back by angry Nintendo fans who felt left out. Their feelings were hurt. Do I have to read this? This is silly. Silly.
Well, so this sum this up real fast. This was a U.S. senator in – I think it's actually part of the TikTok things, by the way. But she ended up making a public comment about the Japanese I can't remember the name of the Japanese authority. The Japanese government basically allowing Sony to engage in what she claimed is blatant anti-competitive conduct through exclusive deals and payments to game publishers. This is all this information that's now coming forward from all of this Activision Blizzard acquisition stuff. It's going to put some heat on Sony. It's going to put some heat on Japan, potentially, with the U.S. calling them out for this. I only really kind of included this because I think this is one of those unintended consequences for Sony. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sony ever really wanted the U.S. senators and potential government to start looking into their practices as being anti-competitive when this whole time they've been trying to stop the Activision Blizzard deal because they're fearful of it being, you know, something that's going to hurt them. So it was a like out of the left field, never expected that to come from a U.S. senator kind of comment, and it caught fire on Twitter. And of course, Nintendo fans got angry because of this 98% monopoly comment. But that's because Sony has created this commentary around high performance console market, and they don't include Nintendo in that.
Huh.
So there we have it.
Classic.
Nintendo, you're still people. Don't worry, Nintendo bots. You're just not high-end, you know, console. That's all.
And wait for it. The big news that we have every week. The latest. We need a jingle for this. Uclea Regular now says Microsoft-Activision merger won't significantly lessen competition in console gaming. The Watchdog CMA said on Friday that it updated its provisional findings after receiving fresh evidence that alleviated some of its concerns about the $68 billion deal.
I mean, this is like a 180 reversal.
It's class. The stock price jumped by nearly 10%.
Yeah, this now puts this deal pretty much on the track to get done because Microsoft can move forward without the FTC. The FTC is, you know, still is quote unquote suing to block, but as long as the EU and the UK CMA approve, they'll go forward with the merger, and then they'll deal with the FTC in court, and the FTC in court's going to lose.
Yep, that Activision spokesperson, the fantastic line: Sony's campaign to protect its dominance by blocking our merger can't overcome the facts. Facts don't care about your games. That's pretty much it, what he said. Yes, that's very good. So that's the news. Excellent.
Quite a lot of news, Robin. Well done.
Yeehaw.
Meow.
Yeehaw. Kim.
Rootin' tootin'.
We got a roll here. I know we're going long. Kim, let's talk about the game calendar.
Alrighty. Your new releases for today through April 1st. April Fools. Colossal Castle for the Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One the 28th. Crime Boss Rock Hay City, which is kind of what I'm kind of interested in, weirdly. For the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on the 28th. MLB The Show 23 for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch on the 28th as well. Sifu, which makes me think of a little thing off of the Panda movie that I can't suddenly think of the name of. But anyway, Sifu, that's the one, the little rat Dustin
here to help.
Character. Yep. Anyway, Sifu is out for the Xbox Series X and S and the Xbox One on the 28th. Terra Nil for the PC, iOS, and Android on the 28th. The Last of Us Part 1 for PC on the 28th. Still not playing it, Pete. Let's see. Dredge. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, March 30th. The Last Worker for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation VR2, Switch, PC, March 30th. I think Robin's been here, but I'm not sure, so let's go with it.
No.
Citizen Sleeper Creeper.
Wasn't fast enough.
Okay. For the PlayStation 5 and PlayStation. Oh, the tank top. Look at that. Holy shit. Oh, here we go. Anyway, Citizen Sleeper for the PS5 and 4, March 31st. Cosmonius High. We'll go with that. For the Quest on March 31st. And those are your new releases. So, there you go.
I think that's the first new Quest game we've had in the game updates in
forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Stuff to play, people. This
spend your money. Coming.
Yeah. Okay. Pete. Pete, if you were just hanging out on a Wednesday night, man, you know what would be really fun? To come play Halo with myself and the community and hang out and have a good time.
Jeez. I couldn't think of a better Wednesday night, Greg.
I think that is spot on, Pete. You could not have a better time than hanging out with me and our lovely community, playing games, having a laugh. It's just great. It's good.
I'd much prefer the Friday nights, Greg.
Well, then, Pete, you're in luck. We could hang out on Friday nights, assuming my work doesn't get in the way.
Ah.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe we just have you run it all. Or not. I saw that look. So we'll continue to have our play dates. Come hang out. Like Lewis, Martin, Snoogans, all of them were hanging out on Wednesday. We were going to try for Friday. That didn't happen. That's my fault. Sorry, guys. There's some fun to be had in the multiplayer stuff. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Speaking of multiplayer, next weekend, assuming nothing else comes up, we'll try to get back with our Modern Warfare Battlefield night. Usually it's, Saturdays. I think we usually do that. This weekend, though, I was kind of all about Diablo, so sorry. Okay.
Yeah. See how you were selfish there. That's okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bloody hell, Kim.
It's all my fault.
Pete, what are you going to do, Pete, when you're on a boat? That's the question. What are you going to do when you're on a boat and you need a Wi-Fi connection?
I've got a Wi-Fi connection. I can take it anywhere in the country. So what I'm hoping, not next week.
Why is he pointing up into the trees?
Because that's where my Wi-Fi connection is.
Behind that tree.
Right in the tree, connection. Yeah. There's a canal, and then there's my Wi-Fi connection. There's a router there. So I'll pick my boat up on the 3rd of April. So I might have to do the podcast that week. Is it the 9th? On the boat. I'll see how I get on.
I'm all for it.
Yeah,
especially boat show. Well, no, I don't want to hope for any sinking, but taking on water would be slightly comical.
It just spent 50 grand on it. Fucking sink.
All right, let's move to some shout outs, shall we? Robin, start us off, please. Give us a shout out to somebody.
Here's to Las Vegas. And the people in the chat tonight, they've been fun. And the Boomers and the CP Matthews, lovely in there. And Lord and all the guys, it's been fantastic fun. Check out my YouTube channel, please. Robin Tate, Bongo Racing. It's lots of fun. Lots of stuff. Good stuff there. And if you want to get into ACC, Step J is getting his rig ready. He hopes to be up and ready for the middle of April. So, I'm looking forward to that. And thanks for helping me. It looks like it's a Porsche, it is. And
Porsche it is.
Podcasting with you guys. It looks like fun. Hey, that's me, Kim.
You ready? Shout out to the Shatters, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know. You make the... not that the podcast isn't fun without you, but, you know, you add more to it. So thanks for jumping in the chat. Shout out to you guys, as always. It's always fun to get on here and, you know, bitch about my week and hang out with people that don't require me to change their pull-up or, you know, cut up their food or, you know, what have you.
If you're coming to Vegas, you can help us with that.
Right.
There you go.
Anyway, other than that, hope everybody has a good week. Hopefully it does decide to warm up at the end of this week because, you know, spring is here and I'm ready for spring. I'm tired of winter. So, you know, there's that. Over to you, Pete.
Same as Kim, really. Shout out to you three. I've really enjoyed tonight. I've enjoyed seeing your little faces again. It's been good seeing yous. I'm also going to shout out Mike and Tara. Oh, yeah. I went to their house yesterday.
New house.
They've moved house, and it's fantastic. It's really it's really big, really, really, really big. Cool. Mike gave us a tour around, and it was fantastic just to see him, and all the family was around as well. They were celebrating Tara's birthday, which is today. I went yesterday, and we had a fantastic time. And shout out to them pair, especially. Love it.
You must. I must find out what they need. Okay.
Huh?
I must get them a wee housewarming something.
It's a lovely house. Mm. Lovely. That's me. Over to you, Greg.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you, Pete, for rocking on your chair. It's been
he's like
spinning back and forth like a little child.
I really need a wee.
I was thinking that might be it. I didn't want to go there because you drank that whole goblet of whatever that was. All right. Shout out to the three of you. Thank you for making the podcast as fun as it was. Shout out to the community. As everybody has said, we definitely love the participation, hanging out, having a good time. John, answer your phone. Lewis, what the hell? Answer your phone. Come on, people.
Nicole, answer your phone.
And at least
Gary, DeFelice, answer your phone.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else. I think this is the perfect time to say we're done. Pete, go pee.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.